Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
All right, well, Scoot is on his way to joining us again real soon. In the meantime, I'm Dave Cohen. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday afternoon. Thank you to the Moody Blues for getting us started here. Coming up later in the program in the 3 o'clock hour, have you ever had that get-rich idea that could have made you a multi-million or a billionaire, but you didn't act on it or couldn't make it a reality? Well, we're going to talk about some Louisianians who have done that through history, and one in particular who is now the wealthiest person in the state. Forbes came out with its list of 400 richest Americans today. Three of those 400 are Louisianians. We'll get to know who they are, how they made their money, and learn more details about the wealthiest Americans and Louisianians coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. I want to hear about your ideas. If you've had an idea, and I'll tell you about one that I really, really regret not having acted on years and years ago, coming up. But if you had an idea and you just knew it was going to make you rich and you didn't do something about it, and then somebody else did, and you've had to watch them become stupid wealthy while you just sit there and go, damn, I should have done something. We'll talk about that in the 3 o'clock hour. Next hour, is it reasonable for dock workers or any other employees to ask for a ban against being replaced by automation, robots, computers, or artificial intelligence? That's the big sticking point, and that's why longshoremen and dock workers across the country, at least on the East Coast and the Gulf Coast anyway, have gone on strike. They're picketing right now on Chapultepec at the entrance to the port, saying that they don't want to be replaced by automation, robots, computers, or artificial intelligence. They've been offered massive raises in this new contract, increased benefits in this new contract, but they want a ban on losing their jobs to robots. Is that reasonable? Does it make sense? And they could potentially cripple the nation's economy. They can make it hard for us to get Christmas presents. They can make prices of everything at the stores, grocery stores, hardware stores, department stores, go up because of a disruption in the supply chain. Is that reasonable? And do you think you need a clause in your contract, or do you need a contract at all that says you can't be replaced by automation? We'll talk about that in the 2 o'clock hour. This hour, we're going to preview tonight's vice presidential debate. Can the debate move the needle and have an impact on the outcome of the election? And do voters generally even care who is the vice presidential candidate or the vice president for that matter? Every time we talk about this, we find out that surveys show the vast majority of Americans, in most instances, this year is a little different since the vice president's running for president, don't even know the name of the vice president. Robert Hogan, we know his name. He is professor and department chair of political science at LSU and joins us on the live line. Good afternoon, Professor Hogan.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. Are you looking forward to tonight's vice presidential debate?
Yes, of course. Any of these debates are, it's sort of the Super Bowl for the political junkies among us who really like watching these things. And we get to see the candidates out there, you know, being asked on the stage, you know, under the spotlight, you know, what do you think about these sort of questions? What would you do about this particular problem facing America? It's a unique opportunity to us, you know, collectively as Americans to listen to the candidates, see what they had to say, and then talk amongst ourselves and criticize them later for what they said. So it's something I think a lot of people are looking forward to.
Yeah, that debate at 8 o'clock tonight, we'll have it for you here on WWL. It'll be on all the television networks hosted by CBS. So when J.D. Vance and Tim Walz, respectively the Republican and Democratic nominees for Vice President of the United States, square off, what do you think we'll see and what do you hope we'll see? And can it change the outcome of the election that is now, 34 days away?
Yeah, I suspect that they're going to be asked a lot of questions about the issues that, you know, rank highly in public opinion in the polls that indicate what people are worried about, things such as, you know, immigration, the border, the economy. Those sorts of things always rank very highly, at least in recent surveys, showing that people are concerned about these things. The conflict in the Middle East, I think, is certainly something that may come up as well. What I'm looking for is you know, what is the plan that each of the campaigns has for dealing with these issues that are facing America? I think that's what most Americans are looking for.
Can the vice presidential candidate speak for their running mates? Can they speak for the future administration? I mean, because I would love to know from both presidential candidates, now that Iran has actively bombed Israel, that they have sent missiles into Israel, what would their response be if they were the commander-in-chief? What would the presidential candidates, if they are elected president, want to do? Because Iran has nuclear technology. We don't know how advanced it is. We don't know if they could deliver a true nuclear or maybe just a dirty bomb. But they can wreak havoc on the world because they do have a sizable military and some nuclear technology. So can, if that question is asked, can the vice presidential candidate speak for what the administration and ultimately Donald Trump or Kamala Harris would do if they were president now?
Well, I mean, they should be able to. I mean, they should be able to articulate what the general policy is that they're, if they are elected, what their administration would do with regard to Israel, with regard to Iran and other actors in the Middle East. I mean, they should have a coherent, worked out plan for what that is, and should be able to talk fluently about, you know, who the major principles are, who the principles are in the Middle East, and what the United States policy is toward them. So they should be able to, although, you know, that whether or not the primary candidate may contradict them. The Republicans certainly have had that difficulty. J.D. Vance at one point, I'm forgetting the issue right now, said he wasn't sure. I think it was an abortion is what it was, whether or not Donald Trump would veto an abortion ban if one were put or passed by a Republican-controlled Congress. We got different answers from the candidate, from the presidential candidate, the vice presidential candidate. And that got a good bit of news, which suggests that maybe there isn't a coherent strategy with regard to that issue, or the candidates aren't communicating all that well. So it tells us something. But I would think that, I think that's going to be a major, anytime there is a major world event that's of consequence, like we're seeing going on right now in the Middle East, the candidates should be ready to answer something like that. So it will be interesting to see what they say. I mean, the whole conflict between, how strong? I mean, both campaigns indicate that they back Israel, certainly with regard to the conflict going on more locally there.
Right, but to what extent do they back Israel, and to what extent would they intervene now that Iran has flexed some muscle? It looks like most of the missiles were shot down by U.S. or Israeli air defenses, and that very few got through. We have at least one report of a building being hit. But just start to wonder, when you start thinking about, do you take on Iran? Do you begin that conflict? Could that lead to a much wider conflict in the Middle East? Some fear could lead to another world war. So you would hope that the vice presidential candidates could speak to their administrations, respectively, plan or at least philosophy on that. How much, historically, do presidents listen to or seek the opinion of or involve a vice president in major decisions?
Well, it has varied a great deal in the past. I have to say, it wasn't really until the 1970s that vice presidents played much of a role at all in what goes on in an administration. Their main role was to make certain that they were, that they could fill in, or if they could become president if the president died.
The old joke was they just went to funerals, international funerals.
Exactly. That's right. Engage in symbolic things. They also cast tie-breaking votes in the Senate. And occasionally when there's a close distance between the parties, a margin between the parties, that's a key role. But it really wasn't until the 1970s that you had vice presidents playing a big role. And it was, strangely, today is Jimmy Carter's 100th birthday. His vice president, Walter Mondale, asked to play a bigger role in the administration and, in fact, presented Carter with a list of things he wanted. And Carter agreed to it. And that sort of started the modern vice president, vice presidency, in which you have vice presidents taking on a role within an administration. Sometimes they would be assigned certain tasks or certain policy areas. And that is why you have Republicans these days in the campaign are talking about how well Kamala Harris was made the border czar, as they like to say. But certain policy areas, study groups, those kinds of things, the administration or the presidency, or the president has assigned the vice president those roles. And so they've played a bigger role. It really wasn't until the Carter-Mondale administration that vice presidents had access to all the national security briefings that the president did. And of course, in the past, if you remember when Truman, well, I don't remember, and you don't either, probably, became president, when FDR died suddenly in the White House, Truman had no idea what the plans were, had no idea about most of the issues involving nuclear weapons or anything like that, the bomb that was being created. So it was kept completely in the dark. And some vice presidents in the past, John Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson, famously, Lyndon Johnson was kept completely at arm's length by the Kennedy administration. They didn't want him involved in the administration. But today you have much more of a working relationship, starting with Mondale, but you look into the Clinton and Gore, that they were, you see increasingly that vice presidents have been brought in as important policy helpers in a way.
Yeah, you think of Cheney and Bush.
That's right.
Clearly, Cheney played a key role in the Bush administration,
absolutely,
particularly when it came to international affairs and issues of war and the like.
Some people argued that he played too big of a role.
Yeah, absolutely.
That he was in the driver's seat in many of these situations. And Obama certainly had Biden playing a big role. And he was, for Biden, he was the last person in the room, as he'd like to say. And that was an accurate assessment of his role, that he could be the last person to talk with the president before a major policy decision was made. So the vice president plays a big role, and it's strange that in some ways that we don't pay more attention to those people who become vice president, not only for the reasons I just stated, because they play a policy role, but because a lot of them ultimately become president. They are indeed one heartbeat away from the presidency. So
either due to assassination, death, resignation, running for office later and winning the presidency. I'm going to pause you right there. We're talking to the chairman of the economics department. The political science department. Economics is next hour. Political science department at LSU, Professor Robert Hogan. When we come back, we'll continue that conversation about vice presidents becoming president, either by the president dying, abdicating, or through the upcoming, following elections due to either term limits or, in this case, the president not running. And we'll also talk about what has to happen at tonight's debate for either of these vice presidential candidates to give their ticket the edge in the upcoming election next month. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Scoot. We'll continue the conversation with Professor Hogan after this. We welcome your calls, your thoughts, your texts on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line at 504-260-1-8.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join M-I-D-I. mindfultherapygroup.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Pullman breaking out the theme song to the TV show Veep. All right, astute listeners caught that one. Thank you, Coleman. Appreciate your help and master control. Join us tonight at 8 for the CBS News vice presidential debate. Don't miss it when Republican vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance and Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz go toe-to-toe as they look to prop up the Republican and Democratic tickets with now just 34 days until the election. The debate will be moderated by CBS News anchor and managing editor Nora O'Donnell and Face the Nation moderator Margaret Brennan. Then after the debate, we'll have analysis for you right here, 8 o'clock on WWL. We're talking with Robert Hogan, the chair of the Political Science Department at LSU, about the importance of tonight's debate, or maybe lack thereof. How much in the past do you recall vice presidential debates? Well, I can think of one that really made a big difference or moved the needle, and do you think tonight's can?
Yeah, I mean, generally they don't in large measure because you have, sufficient amount of attention to the presidential debate. I mean, you had, most vice presidential debates have the viewership is much lower. But this is a situation where we have, there's only been one and probably will only be one presidential debate against the two contenders who will be on the ballot in November. And so I think that probably puts more emphasis on this debate than we normally see on presidential debates. So, I think it has the potential, certainly. I mean, people are always looking for sort of the zingers that could be used as that ultimately become a catchphrase later on. Your no Jack Kennedy moment.
Lloyd Benson.
From the 1980s. Will we have anything like that? It's hard to tell. I mean, you have two candidates who were very different sorts of people in many respects, in just terms of their age. One is 40, one 60. They come from certainly similar parts of the country, but they represent very different points of view and very different perspectives on things. And I think that some of the issues that they're talking about have the potential to create sparks and create opportunities for controversy. I think this whole issue that J.D. Vance doubled down, tripled down, and quadrupled down, the whole, pets being eaten by Haitian immigrants in his state strikes people as being very odd that he keeps talking about this. And I think that's something that I think that Walz probably may pounce upon.
The Trump campaign must believe, and I hate to cut you short, but I want to talk about that a little
more.
The Trump campaign must believe that that's helping them. They must believe that by over and over repeating that Haitian immigrants are eating dogs and cats in Ohio is helping them, because they won't stop talking about it, even though they've never issued or come up with one shred of evidence that it's really happened. And there's been gazillions of reports that it has not happened. But for some reason, do you think we'll hear about that tonight?
Well, I think you might. I mean, I think that you're right. It resonates with his base supporters. I mean, I think the Republicans believe that this is a mobilization campaign. And how do you mobilize people? You get them to think about the issue that animates their core electorate, and it involves immigration. And even if you have to use this story to get people to talk about it, that's what you do. And now, from the Democrats' perspective, I think that they still view that there are still persuadable voters out there. And when your opponent keeps talking about something that sounds weird like that, and that is at its base bigotry, you want to point that out. And I think that's what you're going to see Tim Walz doing, this whole idea of, the Republicans, they're saying weird things. And indeed, J.D. Vance, sometimes his delivery comes across as a little odd. And I wonder if that's something that's going to be highlighted in tonight's debate.
And do you expect, on the flip side, to see Walz attacked for the controversy surrounding his military record?
Well, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that if we're going to go after character sorts of issues, I think, you know, these are both people who are associated, have been in the military. Tim Walz was in the National Guard Reserve for 24 years. And there have been moments in which he has spoken about being in military service where he said things to suggest that he was in combat, which he was not. J.D. Vance should be very careful talking about this, of course. He is someone who was in the Marines for 4 years, but he himself, as he admits, did not see much in the way of combat. He was in a battalion having to do with media and journalism. And so, I think they both have service. It will be interesting to see if they try to use that to sort of diss the other in some way.
I think back, you know, of course, the You're No Jack Kennedy was the iconic moment from the Benson Quayle debate. But I honestly, and I don't study political science, but I do report, and I have been for many years now, but I don't remember any other huge moments, and correct me if I'm blanking out here, from vice presidential debates that really had a potential to resonate with the voters and potentially change the outcome of the election.
No, I don't disagree with that. I mean, they have not generally been very pivotal, but there's always the potential for something going wrong that could be. I mean, they haven't been pivotal in part because both candidates who arrive at the debate stage have been well prepared and they're very careful and measured in what they say, and so there isn't anything like that. But again, this is a year where debates. The first presidential debate mattered a great deal, in which Biden decided to drop out afterwards. So there are instances in which a candidate craters, and then people start to say things. The other debate that comes into mind, of course, is when Admiral Stockdale was part of this back in the 90s. He was the vice presidential candidate pick of Ross Perot back in 92, and he wandered around the stage a little bit, and people made fun of that for Saturday Night Live, certainly did.
Isn't that kind of the goal of the debate, is to not end up being the butt of the joke on Saturday Night Live this weekend?
Exactly.
That you don't want that moment that makes you look foolish or silly or hurts your campaign. And that's always the risk.
That's right.
Because if you go out on a limb and try something dramatic, it may win you, all the sound bites, and you may be the one that is being championed on social media the next day, but you may be the one that's the butt of the jokes on TikTok and SNL and everywhere else.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, if you remember Sarah Palin back in 2008 when she ran,
yes.
That was Tina Fey was, I mean, I think she made a,
I can see Alaska from my back door. Yeah, we all remember
exactly,
that.
Exactly.
Yes. All right, I guess we'll have to wait and see Saturday what they pick up on from the debate. But either way, and I've been talking about this for a few days now, the goal of these candidates is not necessarily who's watching, because we know that we may not see massive audiences or listening, because we'll be able to, if you can't watch it, you can listen to it on the radio. But if massive audiences don't tune in, if they're not that interested in the vice presidential candidates, they may, though, see those highlights or lowlights in their social media feed tomorrow or throughout the week. They may hear it on the radio news on their way to work. They may see it on the evening news. And so I guess that's really what might resonate more, if anything does, is those few moments that the media or bloggers or TikTokers or whoever picks up on.
No, absolutely. I mean, the messages they're getting out there are things that get magnified in all the other streams of media that follow. You're right. I mean, most of the people who are going to hear about the debate are not going to be hearing about it because they're watching it for an hour and a half tonight. They're going to see little snippets of it. And sometimes, it's not to diminish that way of watching it. Watching snippets of it is probably a good way of catching the general gist of what the issues are that they're talking about. And I mean, the candidates, both candidates, I mean, this is, I think, George Herbert Walker Bush once called this, now I can't remember what he called it. He was, I mean, it was, it was very nervous for him to do this sort of tension city. That's what he called it. That's what he called it. In fact, someone wrote a book about that later on, named it that, tension city. These are high stakes events, and it's very difficult, you know, to prepare for these things. J.D. Vance says he's not spending a lot of time preparing, but Wall says he is. A fellow congressman, Emmer from Minnesota, is standing in for Wall's in practice sessions. I mean, the goal of these things is to emphasize those points that the campaigns are trying to make, and to score as many political points as they can to make the opposition look bad. And we get to sit and observe in our comfortable seats and soak it up. So I think that's what a lot of us will be doing tonight.
All right. Tonight at 8 o'clock is the vice presidential debate. Got a question or a comment you want to share with us or professor and department chair of political science at LSU, Robert Hogan? Jump on the line now at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. When we come back, we'll be reading some of your texts and taking your calls. Grab a line now. We want to put you on the radio. And apparently, according to a text, I misquoted Tina Fey misquoting Sarah Palin. I absolutely intended to say I can see Russia from my back door, which was what Faye said over and over again on SNL. And so there is that. I'm Dave Cohen in for Scoot. Scoot will be back soon. We'll be back right after this. Poll after poll shows the race is too close to call for who's going to be the next president of the United States. And tonight at 8 o'clock, the vice presidential candidates square off. We still call them debates, but I'm not sure there's a whole lot of debating that really goes on. Text messages are coming in on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Dr. Hogan, one says, do the VP debates make or break the election, or are they a mute point of interest? After all, they're not the main event.
No, I think that's fair. I don't think that they're the main event. But as I said earlier, is I think because there is only one presidential debate, probably the only one we're going to have, I think there's a heightened sense of attention given to this debate than probably we've seen in other vice presidential debates. The other issue too is, the polling all indicates that this is an extremely close race, and in previous elections when one candidate has been really far ahead and the other far behind, no vice presidential debate is going to make, you know, change the outcome of the election. But this is a situation where any small thing can have an influence. And, you know, this is both candidates are going in front of the cameras and squaring off. And so any small change in support for or against one of the candidates could ultimately make the difference.
Another person texts us at 504-260-1870, says, I quit watching debates decades ago. It's all well-rehearsed blather. Should we expect the candidates to answer the questions they're asked tonight, or should we expect, as we largely saw in the presidential debate, that it's going to be them just using whatever time they have to say whatever they want that may or may not be related to the question that was just asked?
No, that's a very good point. A lot of people... You hear a lot of people say that, is that all they're doing is they are repeating well-rehearsed lines that they have memorized, and regardless of the question, they're going to get those messages they want out there. And you're right. So in that regard, you could probably get the same thing by maybe looking at each of the candidates' websites and reading what, you know, their positions on these things. It also doesn't – I would say that the other thing that debates have changed, I think, a lot in recent years is you don't really have as aggressive questioning as you used to, and in which candidates are made to answer yes or no on particular matters.
When the moderators do try to get a yes or no, the candidates say, I'll answer that in a second, but first I want to say this. And you have this adversarial thing going on, and it just gets uncomfortable for everybody.
Absolutely. And so there isn't a whole lot of policy learning that comes out of these things, I would say. If it were up to me, I would want a candidate interviewed individually by a reporter who is extremely knowledgeable about American politics and American policy, and dig down and ask them questions about things. I think you would get a lot better, understanding of where a candidate stands on things and what they ultimately know and what they ultimately would do with regard to policy. But these, someone once said, I forgot who it was, said that these are really joint press conferences. And I think that's a good way to describe them.
And not even so much press conferences as statements where they're not really going to answer questions
right.
from the media. They're just going to say what they want. To that extent,
that's
CBS
right.
News has announced that the moderators tonight won't do any fact-checking. That if one of the candidates says something that is not accurate or misrepresents the truth or however you want to label it, they're going to leave that up to the other candidate to challenge them. They're not going to do it. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, so that by stating that in advance, candidates then realize that they're free to say whatever they want. No one's going to hold them accountable, especially the other candidate. You may try to do so, but I mean, this really hobbles the ability of reporters to hold them accountable. They can say anything that they want. I think this is probably due to pushback from the presidential debate, in which the ABC reporters were trying to fact check. There was a perception they were only fact checking Trump, and indeed they were fact checking him, but probably on the most egregious sort of things that he was saying. So this is one of these cases where you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
As we're closing in on Election Day, barely a month away now, how much do events in the news, and we know it's razor thin, most people have made up their minds. There are some people who still say they're undecided and some who may still be able to be swayed in that handful of swing states that really ultimately will decide this election. But how much do things like today's dock worker strike, which could cripple our economy and our supply chain, and President Biden, who's not on the ticket, is refusing to intervene and order the workers back to work. How much can that influence the outcome of this election, or Iran sending missiles into Israel overnight? How much can that, when people start thinking about, oh, well, what if this does turn into a wider war or a world war? Who do I want to be commander in chief? Do current events in the closing days of an election have an impact?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and in fact, in American politics, people often refer to this as what's the October surprise? What's the thing that's going to happen right before people go to the polls? So, yeah, I mean, these things can have a tremendous impact. Historically, we saw in 2016, we saw with the investigation of Hillary Clinton a few weeks prior to the election day, certainly had an impact on people's viewpoint. Look back to 1980, Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter. Carter's inability to get the crisis, again with Iran, resolved in any way that was acceptable to the American public. I mean, led to his ultimate demise in an electoral landslide favoring Reagan. So, things in the last few weeks of the campaign certainly matter a lot, and how candidates react to them. And I mean, that is something, though, that these sort of debates, tonight, I'm certain that they're going to ask about Iran. I'm certain that they're going to ask about the dock worker strike. And it will be interesting to see how these candidates, how quick they are on their feet, or perhaps how well rehearsed the last question they practiced for, they're able to repeat. But it will at least demonstrate to the public that these candidates or each of the campaigns has thought about these issues, and they may get very different views or at least different policy proposals that they put forth.
Professor and political science chair, Dr. Robert Hogan at LSU, I appreciate you helping us kind of put into perspective what tonight's vice presidential debate could mean in terms of the outcome of the upcoming election. Anything else you want to share with our listeners before we let you run?
I don't think so. I think we've covered a lot of the bases here. It'll be interesting to see what happens, and And certainly how Saturday Night Live covers it on Saturday night.
I think a lot of people will be looking more forward to that than perhaps the actual debate. Thank you, Professor Hogan. We appreciate it always.
Bye-bye.
Robert Hogan, LSU Poli Sci Chair here on WWL. All right, you want to make a comment? You want to share a thought? 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We'll have a few minutes for you to do that this hour when we come back. I'll also talk more about what we got coming up on the show after this, particularly next hour. Do you think your job could be replaced by a robot, a computer, or artificial intelligence? That's what the dock workers are worried about, and that's why they're on strike. That's the one thing that's keeping them from signing what is otherwise a robust, really good contract for them, but they want to be guaranteed that robots won't take their job. Do you think you would like that kind of guarantee at work? I'll read a very interesting text coming up next about someone asking about my job and a robot taking this job? We'll talk about it after this and the VB debate here on WWL. I'm Dave Cohen in for Scoot. So Professor Hogan was talking about Saturday Night Live, and it's funny that people really do, in larger numbers, turn to Saturday Night Live, not necessarily to find out who to vote for, but to find out the perception of the candidates. Saturday Night Live's premiere last week had the largest audience it's had in the last 4 years. I don't think that's a coincidence, because what was happening 4 years ago, we were in a presidential election. So people clearly do turn more to Saturday Night Live during an election year. The ratings support that. All right, coming up next hour, I want to talk about this dock worker strike and the potential it has not only for really screwing things up in terms of our economy, but our personal pocketbooks. Prices on everything could be going up, up, and up again if this strike lags on and there's not a way that they can get cargo off of ships and move to commerce in a timely manner. And if it, the longer it goes, the worse it could be. We'll talk about how long it's going to have to go for that to happen. And are we really going to have to buy our Christmas presents now if we don't want them to all be gone and the shelves to be barren when we get to December? Procrastinators, listen up. There may not be much there to buy if this thing lags on. But on a more kind of personal level, I want to talk about the sticking point. These dock workers are on strike now because they want a guarantee from their boss that robots, artificial intelligence, computers, and automation aren't going to take their jobs. Should any of us expect that kind of guarantee in today's economy, in this world that we live in? One person texted me and said, how would you feel about AI hosting your talk show? I'm sure it could and put y'all out of work. Do you think artificial intelligence could do a better job than live human beings do in all forms of communications, entertainment, news, media? They go on to say, I'm already using AI to create songs that sound better than the songs I've been listening to from other bands. It says, I use my lyrics that I want to hear, and the AI creates the music. I could also create a talk show where the hosts talk about what I want them to talk about. Do you think AI could do a better job than I do? And does that mean that I should ask for a clause in my next contract that says I can't be replaced by AI? We'll talk about it coming up next hour, right after the news here on WWL.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.